Blog Talk Radio.
Round in the Red Sea.
要是软了，哎呀，阿拉哈呀那哇，哎呀，哈。什么呀是完了哎呀阿拉哈依那哇哎呀什么呀是完了哎呀阿拉哈依那哇
Shalom, family, and welcome once again to the Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GLCC's first women's show designed with you in mind. The first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15, in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm Sister Shirley, your host, and hosting also is Sister Carol. Carol, are you out there?
Shalom, Sister. I'm here.
Shalom, Shalom. I think I see Sister Betty in the queue. Sister Betty, is that you?
Shalom.
Shalom, Shalom. I see Sister Aura out there. Sister Aura, how are you?
Shalom. Great.
Shalom. Okay. We have guests tonight, too, which is excellent. The young people are coming in to talk to us.
Wonderful.
And we're going to talk about keeping purity of body and mind as women. And so important for the younger generation because I think they have it a struggle, more of a struggle than we have. Many of us are already married, but keeping our minds pure, too, is... It's an ongoing process. It's not something that's just, you know, for the young, the faint of heart or any of that. You really have a lot of work to do there. But at any rate, you know, we're going to talk about it tonight. And so we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this roundtable discussion to ask a question or to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. And if you press 1, we'll get you into the host queue. And we're calling on those to add to it and to talk. We'll bring you right in to the conversation. Or you can listen in at the Blog Talk webpage, www.blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church. You can find us there also. You can listen in. You won't be able to add to it, but you can certainly listen in. And you can find our episodes there that you can also listen to. Or you can privately email us at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. We're always interested in hearing from you, you know, whatever new topics you guys are interested in or just want to reach out and, you know, ask for prayer or just talk to us. You can send an email there. And please forgive us if we're not as quick getting back to you as you might hope we would be. It's just we are tied hand and foot right now, especially with Passover on top of us. I'm surprised I'm even out here right now doing this because I have rehearsal tonight, and here I am. But anyway, all praises to the Most High God that he has a ram in the bush, you know, somebody else out there to help out. At any rate, let me just say this. this show does not provide medical advice. So if that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong place. The information voiced on this show is for informational purposes only and not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, mental counseling, or treatment. Always ask the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider before undertaking any new healthcare regime or regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard me say or anything on anyone on this station. We do, however, hold to the Holy Bible as our foundation, and we stand by everything that it says and invite anyone listening to become a follower of Christ as their Savior. All praises to the Most High God for that. Really appreciate and love saying that. It's a marvelous thing. So at any rate, I'm going to bring in our guest as soon as, Carol, you bring us before the throne of grace and ask the Most High to be with us. Go right ahead.
You know, I was listening to the song, the Song of Moses, and it kind of gave me the scripture that I want to read tonight, which is Exodus 15, from where the Song of Moses comes from.
Okay.
So I'm going to read up to verse 12.
Okay.
So it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, as he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The
Amen.
Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Enemies that I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." Hold on. Sorry. Screen my my lights went out. Okay. "Thou didst blast with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lee in the mighty waters." And this is the best part. "Who is like thee? Who is
yes.
like unto thee, O Lord among gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallows them." Praise the Most High. "Who is like thee?" In Hebrew,
exactly.
"Who is like thee?" In Nikamoka. Thank you,
yes.
Father. Father, I thank you so much for tonight, Lord, for allowing us to, first of all, consume on thy word which gives us hope, thy word that gives us direction. What a word you have left here for us, Father. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for sending your Son who redeemed our people from their sins, Father. I thank you. I thank you tonight for this show. I thank you for everyone that's listening and everyone that's participating. Father, I ask that you bless the young women who are coming on to continue to help guide the young, mostly the young in our congregation, but there may be some older ones too that have to learn to stay pure. Father, I am just so proud of them. I thank you for sending them to us, Father. I thank you for our listeners, and I'm asking you, Father, tonight that you may be edified, that the church may build upon it, and that your name may be glorified, Father. Mm-hmm. I thank you for all the people who are praying for us. I ask you that you bless the leadership of this church, Father. Bless our husbands, our wives, meaning if there's any men who are listening and they have wives. Father, I'm asking you to bless this congregation that we may stay strong because the devil is busy. To destroy us, Father.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will do. In the name of Ahayabash and Yeshaya, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh my goodness, when you read that part about who is like thee, that song, who is like thee, O Lord among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness. You are awesome in praise, working wonders, O Lord. Who is like thee, O Lord? I love that song.
Love
it's such beautiful.
I love it too.
I just had to hear it for a moment, even if it was from me. Okay. All right. So
yes.
Let me bring in Sister Jenny. Sister Jenny, we are bringing you in. Can you hear us, Jen? Sister Jenny, are you there? Take your phone off mute. Okay, Sister.
Yes.
All right. All right, Sister Anna, are you there?
I am here. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Now, I don't see Sister Vanessa. If you are here, Sister Vanessa, press 1 to get into the host queue so I can find you.
She's coming in a little later.
Okay. All righty. All right. So we'll look out for her. All right. So tonight we are going to allow the young people to take the reins and we can talk about it, and we'll be in the background adding trouble to whatever they throw out there. So. Jenny, you are at the helm.
All right. So shalom to everyone listening. Thank you again for having us. So as we were thinking about what we wanted to talk about today, myself, Anna, and Zaire, who couldn't be here today since she's rehearsing for the play, we thought one of the main issues that young teenage girls in the church and outside of the church struggle with is keeping their virginity, keeping their body pure, and keeping themselves undefiled from the world. I thought it was just such a good topic. I remember growing up, my mom and dad are each other's first kiss. Like, I was raised to not be a promiscuous woman in any way, shape, or form. But I was just taught, I was allowed to do certain things and go to parties and stuff like that. And my mom just always told me, I give you certain freedoms, but just don't disappoint me with the freedoms that I give you. And I always just was like, I really held that to heart. Like, if my mom trusts me to like go to these parties, I'm not going to disappoint her and be out here being crazy. But I was never told specifically wait until you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such a powerful message. Like, I wasn't raised to be promiscuous. I was raised, if you have a boyfriend, bring him to the house. Like, you don't sleep around and stuff like that. But I think that those specific words are just so powerful. Wait until you're married. And I really praise the Most High that I got this truth at 18, because especially going away to college, it's even like 50 times worse, when you live on a college dorm where it's not even about when you're in a relationship. People just or just because they think it's fun, or just because it's a feeling, or, you know, just because they think it's cool, or they are with multiple people at the same time, no strings attached, and then, you know, you're in feminist classes where you're encouraged to explore what is called your sexuality. And to be honest, when we come into the truth, regardless of what you have or haven't done, you have to really unpollute yourself from the world. Like, for example, me and Yashari have been together, this month will make 7 years. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we used to kiss. And I remember when I was a part of the Brooklyn Church that merged, and so when we all got baptized together, we, you know, the rules were you can't kiss. And I was like, oh, my God, how am I not going to kiss? But surely enough, it kind of was starting to, like, weigh at my heart, like, you know, is kissing, like, something that the Most High disapproves of? Like, it technically is something that is a sexual act. And it's something that is in the world. Like, kissing is just so normal. Like, you could meet somebody, you like them, and you kiss them. You don't even have to date them. And to be with somebody for years, like, I don't even tell my family I don't kiss. But some of them know, and they're like, no way. But I think that we have to constantly, like, undo what the world has taught us in order to be happy doing what the Most High wants us to do. Because sometimes, I mean, it's challenging, the temptation is there, but constantly reminding ourselves, like, why are we doing this? I want to read a scripture, and then I want to throw it to Anna because I don't want to talk too much, but one scripture that really resonated with me is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I really wanted to emphasize that, because what's going to change you in this truth is whether you change your mind or not. It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I love that it says the perfect will of God, because who's to say, like, if you're only ever with one person, and you do kiss them, and you end up getting engaged, and you end up getting married, and then you consummate after you're married, but was that the perfect will of God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when it says living sacrifice, it makes me think about how in a relationship, you always have to sacrifice something, and we are in a relationship with the Most High. And God sacrificed the greatest thing he could have ever sacrificed, which was his only son. And then Christ sacrificed his actual life. And it's kind of like, if God was willing to sacrifice something for his relationship with me, Christ was willing to sacrifice something for his relationship with me, what am I willing to sacrifice for my relationship with him? It's a reasonable sacrifice.
I want to throw this out there. I spoke with, you want to go first, Carol?
I just want to say something real quick. I'm going to do what my husband does to me.
Okay.
Every time I start to read a scripture or tell a scripture, where are you reading from? You didn't say it. Romans 12, right?
Romans 12 and 1.
So everybody that's listening knows.
Yeah, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to add this in there, that earlier tonight when I spoke to a young woman that I was ministering to, and I told her about the show and the topic. And she was like, oh, okay, you know, because she was very spiritual and she was cool with it until we started talking a little bit about it. And I said, yeah, you know, you have to keep yourself holy and undefiled because, you know, you're not supposed to be out there, you know, giving yourself away before you get married. And she was like, what in the world? How is that? And I said, well, you know, it's just like in our church, if a young man defiles a daughter of Zion, they have to get married. He has to marry her. How archaic, she said. That is so archaic. Like, it was like something that was so off the beaten path that she was not interested in that at all. and it sounded so ridiculous, and I can understand why. Sister Jen, you were talking about, you know, you guys used to kiss, but now you watch television, you got men kissing men, women kissing women. This is light stuff as far as the world is concerned. And so it's very hard because the pollution of our minds to not be conformed to this world is a hard spin. It's a hard place. And like you said, in the dorm, it's even harder when you're in college because you've got a lot of peer pressure. It's almost like the young man, like I mentioned on the last show, that came in my shop and 38 years old, and I asked him, why do you have your pants hanging off? And he told me because he needs to fit in. He needs to look wow. like everybody else. And this guy is 38 years old. I'm saying to myself, when does it stop? When does it stop?
Yeah, when does it stop?
Need to fit in. So a young girl or a young boy is going to feel like they have to be involved in this promiscuous behavior in order to fit in. But mm-hmm. Anna, I think Anna, she was turning it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to add something before Anna comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking to that young lady tonight, and of course she was turned off completely.
Yeah.
And it just takes us to Romans 8:7 mm-hmm. to 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it
yes.
is not subject to the law of God, neither mm-hmm. indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He couldn't even begin to comprehend what you were saying. One of my friends, she says that just to date a guy, she has to check him, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to get any deeper to know
mm-hmm.
what she's working on.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's what she said.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that all the time as well. Like, you know, especially if I talk to people, like maybe, you know, sometimes I talk to women at the gym and stuff like that, just acquaintances, and you know, when the topic comes up, they're like, but don't you think that it would be better to do certain things before you get married? And it's like, people don't even have the self, you know, like they don't look at it as like a self-worth thing. Like, you know, I'm not like a free trial. Like, you know, if you want to be with me, you just get a trial. And then if it doesn't work out, then that's fine. Somebody else will get the trial.
Well, you know, I understand what's being said. And then I look back. Excuse me. I look back in my life. And to be honest, when I was dating my husband, and I mean my second husband, I wasn't in the truth, but I was a Christian, Bible-toting, born-again believer. And I felt like I was honestly scared to death that I might marry this man and not know what he was like. Although I did, but I was afraid. I was very afraid. And anyone I spoke to other than my, you know, immediate family was like, you're out of your mind. He could be gay. He could be, you know, you need to do something. And I, you know, it wasn't easy. It was not. So I know it's even worse now. It's even worse. But go ahead, ladies.
Shalom, family. Thank you for the opportunity again, and beautiful mm-hmm. points. Beautiful points, Jenny, Sister Shirley, and Sister
Carol.
Definitely, it's something endearing to me. You know, not only for myself, because I'm, you know, as we get older and you know we get married and we have kids, we're like, oh man, I should have listened to mom and dad, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I think about that topic, keeping purity of body and mind as a woman, I think about maintaining the Most High's image. And, you know, we have the Father, the Mother, and the Son. And when we think about keeping that and saving that, you know, for someone, it puts kind of like a, like we're stomping on the enemy's neck. Because, you know, allowing man and woman to be one puts an end to broken families. You know, and I'm a living testimony. You know, my son, you know, I had him first, and obviously not with the husband that I have now. And, you know, by default, it puts, when you save that virginity, you know, it puts an end to those curses and an end to a child's hurt. Because when there's a broken home, that allows the child to go through kind of like a push and pull. And it allows them to waver and by default fall to certain demons because they're getting caught up in different things. You know, you're teaching them something and then they're going, you know, to dads or moms and they're teaching them something else. You know, so it's very important that our young sisters, you know, and us as sisters in the truth teach the younger sisters to keep this because our goal is to build that perfect nation for the Most High so that we can, you know, increase in spirit. And, you know, and not only physically, but even, you know, people say they have that slogan that it says, you know, born again virgin, you know, and you can do it that way as well. You know, you stop sinning, you're unmarried. You know, you get baptized, you give yourself to Yeshua and the Most High, and, you know, you renew yourself. And I just have just a quick scripture. It says we're in 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, and it says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things of God, who has reconciled, restored us to himself by Yeshua and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, you know, either way, you know, we have to take all of this into accountability. And like I said prior, you know, just teach our younger sisters so that we can build that nation. And it's coming, sisters. I'm seeing it even in our church, and it's such a beautiful thing. You know, these children that we're bearing and that we're teaching, you know, and it's putting a stop to all the madness, you know, because now all that's promoted, and not to digress, is, you know, other marriages, you know? And with that, I feel.
I love what you just said, Anna. Especially about like the born again virgin, right? Because I mean, I think I learned that term when I was like 18 or 19. Somebody told me about that, and I was like, well, I never heard of that before, born again virgin. But you know, I think the idea still stands because at the end of the day, when I remember, like, when Christ saw that woman at the well, and he was like, you've had many husbands, and even the guy that you're right now, he's still not even your husband. I don't even know what that is. That's a situationship. But at the same time,
that's somebody that didn't learn a lesson.
Yeah. Go forth and sin no more. And it's like, especially if you're a woman that you have a high body count, you've done a lot in the world, you know, I could see that it probably feels like I have this, like I'm just carrying around all this baggage. But you know, when you get baptized, you're supposed to leave all that baggage in the water and say, no, that was the world. I'm a different person. And just knowing that to the Most High, you are a virgin. Other people may not look at you like that, but to the Most High, you are clean again. You are pure. You are a child.
You know, I think that not enough is said about the importance of that.
Yeah.
And how critical it is, because we are now the temple. And if we go back and look at the Hebrew scriptures, we find that in as far as keeping that temple clean, it was so critical. You couldn't bring anything in there that was even a nose running, a little bit defiled, anything, nothing filthy could come in that temple. Nothing nothing defiled could be brought into the temple. And the washings and all the things that had to be done to keep that temple clean. Now, I know that sometimes we have sisters that feel like, okay, because I'm on my menstrual, I can't come into this physical temple that we have right now, but we are that temple. And in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we need, there has to be more taught about keeping our vessels clean, because if our vessels are not clean, the Holy Spirit won't stay there. It won't. And if some of us came out of deep darkness, and I mean deep darkness, where we were just on the road to hell, but experiencing hell while we were on our way there. And for those of us that can see and feel and think back to that time, the last thing we want, we never want to go back into the world again. We never want that defilement in our lives, in our minds. And you want to hold on to Christ with everything you've got. And so you have to measure it to what it's worth. And that's where keeping those commandments come in. That you've got to be able to hold on to your virginity, because it's a necessary thing. It's a commandment for us to be pure and to be clean. But we're not seeing enough about it. We're not talking enough about it. So I'm glad you guys brought this up tonight. But go ahead.
Right. I wanted to add on to what you were saying about how clean the temple was.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Kings, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, this is something that when I learned this, it just amazed me, that the Most High, not only was the building clean and undefiled, but the rock, the stone, and anything that had to be nailed or hammered had to be done outside of the temple and then quietly laid within.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 7, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house it was in building. The Most High, that tells me something even about our temperament.
Yes.
If we're the temple, we need to remember all that racket in our lives. He wants it to be peaceful. But I just love what you were saying, that part about making us as women realize that this body is supposed to be clean and ready for your husband and not defiled before the marriage bed.
Yeah. And also what, you know, a lot of us don't, you know, they don't teach in the world is that it's like you all are saying, it's such an imperative thing because, you know, when you, because getting married and giving yourself to someone, you are becoming one flesh with that person.
Yes.
You know, you're becoming one spirit. And a lot of these kids, they think that, okay, just committing that pleasure and all fun and games, but you're mixing different spirits, you know what I mean? And then when you get to that one person that you do want to marry, you know, you have these defaults and these trust issues and these things, you know, that you're battling with, and now you're bringing to the, you know, to your marital bed, and by default also your children when you do bear them. You know, so it's a very, very spiritual thing. And, you know, Christ is definitely that cleanliness. It's all about Christ. And I just have two scriptures on that. And it's 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. And it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Mm-hmm. And when you go to 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also is Christ. So mm-hmm. when it's saying every sin that a man doeth is without the body, you know, it's not just talking about a fleshly body. We're talking about Christ. We're mm-hmm. all members of that one body of Christ.
Amen.
And when you commit wow. these acts of fornication, you're sinning against yourself, against Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead, sister. I don't want to cut you off. Mm-hmm.
And just one last scripture, it says, 1 Corinthians 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? Most likely. Amen. Amen.
Exactly. Exactly. And that scripture is so critical. Go ahead, miss.
I don't know, just hearing you say that scripture just made me think, like, how sad is it for you to have to think to yourself, I'm the member that's not supposed, that's like, that polluted the whole thing. I'm the member that joined myself to somebody else, and worse off is that person isn't even in the group.
Well, you know, and then the way you brought it out, too, it shows that when we're doing these things and us as being part of the body of Christ, you're defiling the whole church.
Exactly. Right.
You're defiling us all. And that's why sometimes we have to sit you down, suspend you, put you out of the church because you are defiling the whole body of Christ.
That's right.
With a harlot or what have you. Yeah. Imagine if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and dwells in us. What kind of stuff is this we got them joining in with?
Right.
He also says that he can't dwell in a body like that, right?
Yes.
Right.
So he would leave you. But the scripture also says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Mm-hmm. So could one person destroy us all? That's the way we should think. We could destroy the entire church with our negligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like, and you know the scripture that says the invisible things of God are clearly seen by that which is made. And we see very clearly that if we have that one bad piece of fruit in our refrigerator, I don't care the fact that it's all cold and whatever, it will destroy everything in there if you leave it.
That's right. A lot of the young people want to say, this is my body. I can do what I want with it. And they don't know that is not their body. They did not make that body. That body can be destroyed if they don't do the right thing with it. So, and they want to be halfway in and say, well, I can go to the side and do this because, you know, it is my body. But they don't know that they have to put on a new mind, you know. That old creature has to go away. If not, then you're just a creature undone. And it is to have that foundation, knowing that I am a part of the body of Christ, and I must surrender it as a living, holy sacrifice. You know, holy to the Father. Yes.
She may have read this scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. And so therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. But the fact that we are bought with a price, we're not our own anymore. And that too needs to be manifest when we're talking with one another and when we're dealing with young people. And young people need to try and understand. And I think I see Vanessa here. Let me just bring her in. But the thing is that it's a hard place. Hold on. Vanessa, is that you?
Shalom, how are you?
Shalom.
Yeah. Oh,
so if we are bought with a price, we have to be more than careful. more than careful because we're not our own.
Right.
We knew how to be slaves. We knew how to do that. We're going to have to figure this one out. But go ahead, sisters. You go ahead. You got more.
Shall I go?
Yes, go
yeah.
right ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, come. I was just going to give my testimony as suggested. So I am a virgin, praise the Most High. And I credit the Most High with that, obviously. Even before the truth, he had me in his grasp. Like, I grew up in the Christian church. But if I can give one piece of advice to those like that have young children, young daughters, the way my grandparents and my mom went about it, and my dad as well, they're very open and honest people. And my mom is a nurse, right? So when I was younger, she would, like, say, this is what this is. Also, I'm 27, sorry. I'm a virgin and I'm 27, almost 30.
Praise the whole time.
Sorry. Yes. So my mom, for example, she would bring out her nursing books, and she would show me, like, the effects of, like, this is what could happen if you, like, you're unprotected and so on and so forth. So that gave me, like, not fear, but, like, logically, I better avoid this because I don't want to have any chance of dealing with this. But then also because I did grow up in the Christian church as well, I didn't learn much in there, but they teach you some things. So they instilled in me, like, waiting for my husband and everything like that. And, of course, like, I was in the world and everything like that. So I had the mindset, like, I want to wait for my husband. But even if I was, like, going on dates with a guy or whatever, I would have in my mind, this, I don't know if this is the person I'm supposed to marry, so let me just continue to wait because of the fact that, like, yes, I want to stay a virgin for, like, myself and for the Most High, of course, but also for my husband. Like, I would be his the same way that he would be mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just preserve that for him, even though I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. Most High willing, he comes find me soon, but I just want to give myself over completely to him so that he knows that he's the only one that knows me the way that he would know me.
And I think that's so important because it absolutely destroys your testimony if you allow something like that to happen among the two of you before you get married, because all of a sudden you let this gentleman know that you are capable of being seduced by someone else. You've let him know that. You've let him see that even though you say, I love the Most High, and God is my refuge and my strength and my fortress and all that, but you've shown something else. You've actually put this man ahead of God. You've actually allowed your flesh to rule. And that's what happened in the garden. We allowed our flesh to rule. That flesh is an excellent servant, but a lousy ruler. It will have you do everything that will defile you or that will be more comfortable. Don't get out of bed. You don't need to go to work this morning. Your flesh will tell you that. Your flesh will tell you, you don't need to go to service this afternoon. You know, you can watch it on the video. Let your flesh rule. You'll find out. But when your flesh rules to the point where you're joining your body with someone and you're just defiling the temple, we need to talk more about that, how critical that is to try. And for those of us that have fallen short, I like what she said again to a born-again virgin. Start all over. Start all over. Make that commitment now to do what's right. And it's harder, I think, after you've done it to be more chaste because you've tasted something. And so
I have a question. Yeah.
Go ahead, Beth.
How long should the engagement be? And
in my opinion, 5 minutes, but go ahead.
do a long engagement.
No,
do a long
5 minutes.
Contribute to
a long engagement can contribute to someone misbehaving.
Yes, definitely. You start feeling like, you know, it's, you're desperate in the situation.
But
like
it has
that.
To be. It has to be comfortable for whichever person it is, because we can't come up with a standard for everyone.
We can't.
But we do know that if a person feels they need a little more time to learn about someone, we should not discourage that.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm not
saying
that.
The scripture talks about it's better to marry than to burn. I mean, if you guys are just there lusting after each other, there's something wrong. Y'all got to stop that, because that's a sin too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and so the thing is that, and sometimes in my head, you don't know about anything about the person until they move in your house. Now,
that's the truth.
Now you learn who this person really is. Because then they start, they relax, they lay back, everybody becomes whoever they are once they are at home. Just feeling at home. Yeah, putting my feet up under the table, you know. And then you find out. All that stuff before that is
window dressing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not.
And you know what? It would be impossible for them to let the real them be known. You can't be yourself that way, relaxed and you're not living together. So your whole surroundings are not conducive for you to start realizing this dude leaves a jar off the peanut butter or a spoon in the mayonnaise. You know, that kind of crazy stuff.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to tell you my husband does that. That'd be more like me doing it than him. I'm telling you right now, my husband was, and he talks about it all the time, an ex-junkie, but I never in my life saw an ex-junkie fold up his clothes. You'd look at his closet and think I was the one on drugs. Everything was so neat and folded and perfect in there. Everything was put back. And then you go look at my side and you go, what happened over here? Who's on drugs? but anyway, those things you can't learn until you do live with each other. But it's fun. You have to look at it as fun at the same time, getting to know you, right?
Yeah. And so, the courting period, when you're courting, I think the things like, and even this is hard, do you want children? Do you mind living in Africa? Do you mind living in Africa? I don't want my wife wearing any makeup. She's not allowed to show her hair anymore. All these different little things, these quirks that you have, you know, I don't want any man speaking to you at all. You know, there are some people in the congregation that this is their relationship with their husband or wife or what have you. These things you need to know before you get married. This is killers. These things are killers, you know, where all of a sudden I didn't want any children, but I do. You know, these things are not good. And the bad part is that after you get married, sometimes your mind changes too.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind changes. I didn't want any children, but now I do. Oh, what a mess. But at bare minimum, just learning what you can about a person and watching them as they're doing things. And one of the main things is if this man is pushing you to do this outside of God's will, that's a clear indication that his heart is not where it needs to be.
Right.
Because he's pushing you to defile your body and to go against the word of God. Check that.
Right.
Because then you get a glimpse. That's the part that you need to see. You need to see how important it is for him to keep the word of God. How important is it?
Exactly.
And when you see that, that relationship that he has with his king is a common denominator that'll keep you together.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Yeshua, because you will be equally yoked on that level.
Uh-huh.
And so everything else is a fist fight. Everything else is, you know, the milk container off. These are silly things, but those things, you just have to learn how to manage those wars.
Right.
Because those are just, you know, you're deciding whether he's better than you or you're better than him. But as far as keeping yourself pure, you lose total testimony if you've allowed that to happen in the beginning. And you've got a lot of cleanup that I don't know will ever be able to straighten back out again.
Mm.
You know, so it's really important for us to stay pure. So if you're out there and you're dating or you're looking to get married, and God knows if you're married, you certainly need to keep yourself pure. So how do you keep yourself pure? You got to stay with that one man.
Mm.
You know?
Go
ahead.
No, finish what you were saying. Sorry.
I was just saying, you just have to stay with that one individual, because married people have the same problems, especially when they're feeling like, I'm not being fulfilled at home.
Right.
And we've had conferences with some sisters, and some of them will talk about, well, but I have a friend out there that really likes me. Really? You know,
mm-hmm.
And you really have to. That's even if it's only in your mind that you guys are talking to each other. This is impurity.
Yeah.
This is, you are defiling the temple. And the temple is definitely your mind. You don't want to go there. So there's a lot of work for all of us. Married, single, widowed, divorced, all of us.
And you know what is so crazy is that even though a person can be up in age and thinking about having a relationship, they have to be just as careful as a young girl, because you can get thrown by sweet words very easily.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter had a friend who, and I might have told this story before, but she was engaged. And she said, I'm a virgin, and I'm going to be a virgin when I get married. But come to find out, she and that guy the entire time, and I'm almost sick to say it, were doing anal. But she called herself a virgin because the hymen never got broken. That was a constant thing for them. But she felt like he needed to have satisfaction, and to avoid the other way, which is sacred, she wasn't going to do it. Is that crazy?
People will fix our ways to do things.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm talking about stuff like this is so important, because when we grew up, nothing was talked about. You didn't say the word pregnant in the house. It was like, we made up our own little way of things. We decided that if we loved the person, it was okay. We always had boundaries, but we decided we would make up our own boundaries. And we thought that was a good thing to say, well, at least I loved him. And I know there's a lot of people who think that way too. If they love each other, that it should be okay. You know, I mean, so if something's not talked about, you kind of give room for gray areas. You know, you start making up your own, you know, way to do something. So this is so important. These women are really bringing stuff out today. Wow.
I want to know, Vanessa. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say one last thing. I agree with you, Sister Shirley and Sister Carol. It's so imperative to take your time, because, you know, it's when you become one with that person. You know, a lot of you know, sisters don't understand that, not in a bad way, but you become a servant, you know, to your husband. You're helpmeet. You have to make sure the food is done. You have to take care of your kids. You're teaching, ironing, making sure he's all set for Shabbat. If your husband's a deacon, bishop, whatever, even just a regular brother, hey, babe, you know, helping him get his paperwork together, all types of things. You know, mm-hmm. and it's a job that we have, and it's like, you know, sometimes I'm very clingy with my husband, and I'm like, oh, my, like, I want to be next to him all the time. But, you know, when he leaves to work or sometimes and I just have that break, I'm like, praise the Most High, you know, and you appreciate that time. So, mm-hmm. you know, single sisters should, and, you know, those virgins should take that time and rebuild, build yourself up through Christ, you know, mm-hmm. prepare yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because it's a new chapter, and with that
yeah.
I
do. Yeah. And I tell Definitely. You, it's so funny because we have a hankering to be married. But I wanted to ask Vanessa a little bit more. Did you date as a young girl, Vanessa?
Okay, so the thing about me is I feel like I'm very interesting because. As you remember, I'm a very, like, touchy-feely person, right? So, like, I think I can't be sitting next to someone without holding their hand or something.
mm-hmm.
But it's actually quite difficult for me to have things for someone. Like, I did go on dates. Like, I enjoyed company with people, but to have developed feelings, that did not happen very often at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, even though, like, the lack of feeling for people or for men, like, is there, like, you know, every now and then, praise the Most High, I feel something for someone, but it's few and far between. But, like, those urges as a woman are still there. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
people think, oh, how do you don't have any thoughts or, no. They come, I have to rebuke them, but they come. You know, it's just a constant thing that I have to continue working on. Everyone will have to continue working on. You know,
good.
So people ask me, like, how is it hard to, you know, get through those times? But you just have to keep your mind on the prize. You know, that sounds, like, very cliche, but that's the truth. You know, like, there's not even anyone I would want to defile myself with. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to defile myself with myself. I
mm-hmm.
really want to save myself with my husband. So, like, whatever you have to do to – make sure that that you're continuing to save yourself, even if you're feeling those urges or whatever, you have to find a way. Because if you think about it, you know, guilt lasts a lifetime. You know, in that
mm-hmm.
moment,
right.
when you 20 minutes, you know, why have a lifetime of guilt for 20 minutes? You know, so
yeah.
that's
yeah.
what
and,
I think
And you're
about.
Right about that guilt lasting a lifetime because it's not just guilt that you feel. It's what everyone else has seen in you now. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've made a political statement out there
mm-hmm.
and let everybody know that you are full of crap about your religion.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
And you pretend you'd be just both sides.
Exactly.
You transgress.
Exactly.
Yes. That hurts even badder.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a hand raised. Let's bring in a caller. This is like a weird area code, but you're in the queue. Can you speak? Do you hear us? I just unmuted your mic.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. I was just wondering, are you taking calls from men? I was kind of confused.
We really don't usually take calls from men. This is a women's program. Who's calling?
Okay, I can respect that. I had a statistic for you. But I'll just continue to listen. Do you ever allow men to call in?
We've had a couple of times. You want to go ahead and give us the statistics since you're on?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was just looking up the Gallup poll, and it was citing the age, the best age for men, according to most Americans, the largest percentage, would be 25 for women. And 27 for men. And then they extrapolated that between 21, because a woman is born with all of her eggs. So between 21 and 25 are considered the ideal ages if she wants to have children. And
mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't want to have children, then, you know, obviously that can be rejiggered. But, yeah, if she wants to have children, 21 through 25 for the woman, and 27 for the man.
Well, thank you very much for that information.
I appreciate that.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We certainly don't want to be not honorable, you know, but, you know, we just want to move on. Thank you so much. Okay.
And I want to say mm-hmm. something in reference to the poll that he read.
Okay.
He said, mm-hmm. Now, if you want to have children, we know, and I get a little nervous when I hear some of the states say they don't want children. I do
mm-hmm.
understand bringing children into this world. But
mm-hmm.
just like Sister Jenny, Sister Anna, and Sister Vanessa are stating, they're trusting the Most High to
mm-hmm.
bring them a man that can love them
mm-hmm.
and will be equipped to love them and give them, you know what I'm saying. They're trusting that without trying him out. We
exactly.
have to trust the Most High in reference to bringing children into the world the same way. Because
mm-hmm.
the commandment was never
mm-hmm.
rescinded, as far as I know,
mm-hmm.
when he said
mm-hmm.
to multiply and replenish the earth. I don't
mm-hmm.
remember that commandment not going forth. Do you?
No, I don't either. But no disrespect to the brother that called in, because
statistics
are helpful. I'm just saying what I'm getting ready to say, statistics are helpful in many ways, but here we have statistics in scripture like Abraham and Sarah.
Mm.
You know, if the Most High wants that baby here, it's coming. If that baby belongs here, it's coming, you know. And the thing is that we definitely want to, you know, try and do things right. And I could see having children young, I walked away from the womb wanting to be married and having babies and all of that stuff. And I'm not sure why that's in our hearts, because it certainly is a position of servanthood. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're a cross reference to a slave in certain ways, but you know, you better hope you love that man, and you better hope that man loves you, you know, because it makes it a lot easier to do for him. But as far as to just giving yourself away to someone and just making yourself available, we really, really need to talk more about what it means to be pure and how important really is that to the men of today. Is that really important to them?
I love mm-hmm. your point, Sister Shirley, about like how important it is to the men. But I really had a point about how important it is to the Most High. And I know earlier in the show we talked about not conforming to this world, but being renewed in our mind. And one thought that I always hear is, why is there so much emphasis on the woman to be virgin? Why is there so much emphasis on the woman to stay pure and the men can do this? And I have a scripture for it, and I also have a point. So it's Ecclesiasticus 26 and 25. It says, a shameless woman shall be counted as a dog, but she that is shamefaced will fear the Lord. And, you know, I just think it's so interesting. The women that are most out there, that they don't care, they're naked on Instagram, that they don't care how many people they sleep with, they are proud to call themselves a female dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it says, but she that is shamefaced will fear the Lord. And I was looking up that word shamefaced because I had a feeling that it had a meaning that we don't always talk about. And one of the meanings for shamefaced, it says, through the idea of downcast eyes. And I will never forget this story. When I was in college with Brother Yashar, there was this girl, she was from Africa. She was a little bit older than us. And she always dressed very modest, skirts down, you know, and she was very nice. And one day we were talking about cultural differences in the class. And she said, well, the greatest cultural difference I have experienced is that in my home country, I think she was from like Ghana or Nigeria, I was not allowed to look at men in their eyes. I was supposed to look down. And so I've never grown up looking at men in their eyes. And when I came to America, I was taught that that was disrespectful.
Yes.
And, you know, when I think of that word shamefaced, I really do think of, you know, a woman that really, you know, in a positive connotation knows her place and that is able to say, I am not a man. And if I have a man in my life, I am submissive to him, whether that be my dad, my grandfather, my uncles, my brothers, my husband, my fiance, and to know that I cannot do everything that a man can do, and that is okay because the most has a special place for me. And it makes me think about a quote that I heard. It says, feminism came in trying to tell us we should be equal to men, that we needed more rights. And then they told us, no, actually, we're greater than men. We run the world. And now they can tell us that we can actually be a man. You can actually turn into a man. And my last point with that, for anybody that is still wrestling with that idea of, you know, the Most High or people put this emphasis on women but not on men, Revelation 14:1, it says, and I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as they were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were from the earth. And now who are these men? Verse 4, it says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And so God appreciates any man or any woman that is willing to say, I will deny my greatest fleshly instincts and follow the Most High with my entire heart, with my entire spirit, and deny my flesh in every way, shape, and form, whether you're a man or a woman. The Most High is not partial.
Could I share this? I would like to share something with the younger women. And I wrote this down some time ago because I felt that I wanted to share it at some point. And it's from 2 Exodus chapter 5, verse 51 to 55. It says, ask a woman who bears children, and she will tell you.
Speak a little more into your mic, Betty. I can barely hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. It says, ask a woman. Can you hear me?
I think so.
Who bears children, and she will tell you. Say to her, why are those whom you have born recently not like those whom you bore before, but smaller in stature? And she will answer you, those born in the strength of youth are different from those born during the time of old age. When the womb is failing, for you also should consider that you and your contemporaries are smaller in stature than those who were before, and those who come after you will be smaller than you, as born of creation, which already is aging and passing the strength of youth. So I was told by a woman years ago that young people have strong children. So when I talk to a lot of the youth, you know, it's like they're procrastinating on starting families. It's like they have a whole lot of things to do in the world. They got to go finish their education. They got to become famous. They got to become this and make money and all. And I think they're leaving what's really important behind, and that's the family unit.
Yeah, and I get that, sister. That's really good. That's almost like the statistic that the brother brought out. That it would be best. And let me tell you some of this stuff, too. Sometimes if you don't get married as a young person, getting married older, you might not have the patience that you might have as a young person. Because honestly, when I met my first husband, who has passed away, when I met him, I would have followed him to the end of the earth. And he didn't have 5 cents in his pocket, or no place for me to stay, but I would have followed him to the end of the earth. But
that's
as an
right.
older woman, hello, I'm not going. You know, it might be a little harder for you
go out
to fall in line. It might be a little harder. So, yeah, go ahead, get married young if you can. Hold on, let's bring in another caller. Area code 330, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion tonight and the young people.
Shalom, sisters, how are y'all doing tonight?
We're great.
Hey.
Shalom. This is Sister Gianna from the Cleveland Body. Say, Sister Jenny, you done stole everything I wanted to say. I just wanted to say, y'all have been talking about young people like having more patience,
mm-hmm.
but the way I've seen people coming from like both seeing people in the truth and also people in the world, that the people around my age, I'm 20, we very much lack patience. That's something we can definitely learn on and build on.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can see, especially for myself, that like we definitely lack patience, and that's something that we have. That's something that we as a whole have to work on. And I think another thing that y'all had mentioned was keeping like being able to do things to maintain purity. We
mm-hmm.
all praise to the Most High. I'm still a virgin, but
praise him.
I've noticed a lot of things that have kept me grounded were things that involved the Most High directly.
Yes.
And I know one of those for me, like now that I'm in the truth, is being a part of the part of the church is of our body dance ministry. And
mm-hmm.
it's been like a huge point of motivation for me because we have a lot of younger girls on like the dance team that are going to be like 11 and 12 pretty soon. And like being like a good role model is coming in both in not just in dance, but also in being pure and being trying to be that virtuous woman that we are all striving to be is so important because they're a whole new generation coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to know that our children and our little sisters can grow up to be better than the last.
That's a beautiful thing, sister. And see, mm-hmm. one of the things that you brought out was keeping the things of the Most High, you know, like being involved in them. But I'm going to tell you one of the things that, and everybody may not agree with me on this, but try it. I'm going to tell you right now. Stay away from secular music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, when you have that secular music with those love songs and smooth jazz and
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff, your mind is tied up and ready. It's preparing you for someone to turn off the lights. You know, I mean, what? You know? It's like you can't help it. If you really want to stay chaste, if you don't have that music in the city of your soul, it helps to not have
yeah.
it there. If you have the Most High's music, and I feel like sometimes you have to be even careful with that because there needs to be a clear distinction between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. And so the music that you're hearing, you know, if it's got you gyrating and think about it because it can take you, don't think for 5 minutes that music can't move you. It can move you and make you feel a way. It can make you think a way. It can be just as much of a catalyst as a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Tell you right now, that's something else you should stay away from, but okay. just saying it will help you. It'll help you to stay holy because that music is there to seduce you. That's
mm-hmm.
what it's for, you know? So hang on. Let me just thank you for that, sister. Really appreciate it. Bring you back in the queue, And I'm going to bring in another caller. Area code 646, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, shalom. How y'all doing?
Shalom. How are you?
Good. I just like to make 2 points and then I'll yield. Number one, you know, Sister Shirley, when you was mentioning about the secular music, it's ironic that a lot of people that sing that music, they can have a gospel background. You have rappers that came up out of the gospel church.
Absolutely,
you know,
that's
go
where
through.
They came from.
Yeah, and then I want to go on Jenny's point. Jenny was making an excellent point about being shamefaced and how you couldn't look a man in the eye. That wasn't just there. That was here, too. People don't understand. They look at America now, but they don't understand. America was like that at one time, too. You know, I couldn't even look at adults in their face. I couldn't be sitting there listening to their conversations because my parents would tell me, you got to go in the room. And I couldn't just look at men in their eyes either. I could not do that. So the thing is, when you look, yes, and see, if you when you look at Jeremiah 51, verse 9, it tells you we would have healed Babylon, but she cannot be healed. You know, so that tells you there was some kind of morality in a sense with certain things. And then if you look at Revelations 18, verse 3, it tells you all the nations drunk of the wine. So where she was at in Ghana, all of this filth is going to spread worldwide. So it tells you all the nations. And the Bible is correct in it. So the question is, it's just a rhetorical question. The question is it, you know, conducting this, which we should know better, or is it Western culture that's pushing it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
I yield. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
That was Sister Diane, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very good point. And as a matter of fact, if we got into an adult conversation, you, first of all, they'd have stopped talking, and you would have felt like a fool, like, excuse me, you in my conversation? Get out of this room. You know, we didn't just volunteer our opinion, but you'll notice a lot of kids today, they're all in their parents' conversations.
Oh, yeah.
They all I love your comment. For the sister that called, I love your comment because even if you were to think of, like, the daughter of Babylon, like, if this country was a woman, nothing about her would be shamefaced. She would be very bold, looking at you right in your eyes, like the longest eyelashes you could probably ever imagine, very loud, unsubmissive, cursing, and considers herself a female dog.
I have a question about those eyelashes. Is that something that just black women are wearing, or are all cultures wearing those lashes?
All cultures.
They're crazy. I just have only seen black women with it on. I've never seen anyone else, but I guess you're right.
I've seen the white ones. I've seen them. They come in my school. All the time. It's like the internet-ized, you know, because everybody's looking at, what is that, Facebook and YouTube. Everybody's looking at it.
Instagram
and all
the rest of that.
In the same place, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, years ago, if you lived in New York, people could tell that you lived in New York. Now everybody's doing the same thing, so you don't know where anybody's from because everybody, that internet has made everybody equal.
We're all distracted.
We're drinking up that wine, just like she said. We're all drinking that wine. It's no good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drinking the Kool-Aid, everybody. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
So what do we recommend for young women? Let's just say that they've had relationships prior. What do we recommend that they do going forward? Can they break this mold? Remember the movie Jumping the Broom? And the young lady was like, she just kept getting dogged. Guys would be lying. She was in there in the guy's bed, and he's in the other room talking to another girl on the phone. Out of this condition, and that our girls realize what value they have and stop selling themselves for a bologna sandwich. They're so important to God, and we're giving it away like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. So, Jenny, Vanessa, and Anna, can you help me out here?
Of course, yes. I have somewhat of an answer for it. I want to read a quick before I get into it. 1 Timothy 5:13, and it goes with what the younger sister from Cleveland spoke on too. It says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So with that being said, it's self-explanatory, and I feel like, you know, younger sisters and also parents, you know, that have these younger sisters should more so look into, you know, getting them involved. You know, sit down. We sometimes, you know, we get caught up with life and we don't sit down with our daughters. We don't sit down with our sons. And we don't sit down with them and ask them, hey, what do you like to do? You know, and just getting them involved in some type of sports, finding things they're good at that could potentially, you know, like the sister said, help the church, whether it's cooking, decorating, singing, helping and teaching the younger children, you know, staying busy and finding ways to help the community, like, you know, charity, helping the poor. And also, too, and I know this is on a deeper level, but us as bigger sisters, mothers, elder sisters, we need to start teaching these young sisters to fast and pray, you know, remain in that sober spirit so that you can gain that connection to the Most High, so that all you desire is Christ. And I know it sounds cliche, but this is what we need to do. This is what we need to be instilling, because that is the perfect armor. And when you gain that connection, you know, it's like those things don't matter. When you start looking at things in a spiritual aspect, once we start doing that, the kingdom of heaven is going to be at hand. And with that, I yield.
I wanted to add something to what you were saying before about, I think it was Sister Aura was saying, the internet and all of that makes you feel like that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say also, and someone wrote this to me, was that the internet makes the world very small too, because it's bringing all these crazy ideas together, and we think this is ubiquitous. Well, we all do that, you know. So we think that the stuff that's bubbling up to the top is the norm, which this is really not the norm. This is the way out, because that's why it went viral, because it's the way out. Mm-hmm. And I think that something we need to teach them is to stay away from those shows on television, because, you know, Sister Jenny just said that busybody, that talebearer, what are those Atlanta Housewives or whoever, Real Housewives. What are they doing? Sitting around talking about each other, dressing provocatively, discussing love life and all that mess. To me, that's like anybody that's watching, that's the lowest place you can get between that and those shows they used to show, like Springer. That's just as bad. Remember that Jimmy Springer or whatever his name was? He had the women on there.
And Maury.
And then Maury. Oh, my God. Having those people, that is like
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, Jerry Springer.
And we got to be complete fools of ourselves.
Complete fools.
But everybody was laughing, and nobody knew, well, you know what, he's got a lot of attention. Nobody knew if that was bad attention, or, you know what I'm trying to say, because
it matter.
People wanted to be that way. Yeah, they wanted to go out and put all their business out on television, and they thought it was good. You got exposure.
It was funny.
But what kind of exposure are we talking about? It doesn't even matter anymore.
And so pure is there's a whole nother definition for it. You know,
right.
I'm not even sure if that word is in the dictionary anymore.
carries the same meaning, because, you know,
the
word
does
change, you know.
But what
words
is that?
Personally, because gay used to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at that word. Look at that word.
Yeah.
I can barely use that word, you know. I mean, there were songs that we would sing about being gay. And now when you say the word, you think, oh, my God, what am I saying?
Yeah, you feel defiled. Yes, it's really scary.
What did you say? Yes, it is.
She said you feel defiled. We have a couple of callers. Go ahead, Carol.
For them to steal the rainbow, the most sacred, the first, like, covenant that went up there from the Most High, the rainbow, and it would remind us that he would not destroy the world with water again. And now when we look at the rainbow, what do we think of? I can't even buy something.
Exactly. And I'm going to go back to what I was saying. Even with secular music, if you sing the blues, watch and see where your spirit feels.
Sing those songs of the blues
and see if you don't start feeling, you know, a low feeling about yourself and about things. Mm-hmm. You just get so low. There's one song that used to just, as soon as I'd hear it, it would just, and maybe that resonates more with me because I've been in music all my life, but that song, it's sad to think we're not gonna make it. It's just been pain all down in my soul. I can't even sing that song because it's so sad. It's like, my God. What's happening? Music can really change how you feel. And if think about if you have the songs of Zion resonating in your soul, what will be in your mind? And you don't have to be afraid because it's almost like Sister Vanessa said, when the time comes, those feelings are there. It's just that sometimes you literally have to rebuke them. And that's for married, single, widow, divorce. Well, the married ones have to rebuke that feeling when it comes for somebody who they're not married to. And let's be real.
Let me just throw something else at you. Someone just wrote me this, and it says, the internet desensitizes everything. It's a mechanism. It's a mechanism to control our thought process. Mm-hmm. It's the new TV. It says, W.E.B. Du Bois wrote the book, The Spirit of Black Folks. It's all about how music resonates with us specifically. The world knows that. It's purposely done, strategically done. The record companies know this.
I agree more.
And that's the truth, though. You know, it's just like, let me just tell you something. My granddaughter, and she knows this, so I'm not sharing anything that is outrageous. She's always calling me up and begging for money, and I'm always saying to her, what is this call going to cost me? So I've renamed her J.G. Wentworth, 877 Cash Now. And I can guarantee you guys all know that commercial. 877 Cash Now.
The song,
Look how that thing stays with us. You know, Empire.
but that's like with any song, even songs that you hate sometimes, you keep hearing that melody ringing in your head and you want it to leave. You know, you're walking out the kitchen, you know?
Words I couldn't spell in school. If you sang a song, I got a song to it, I know how to spell it, I still sing it, you know?
Well, that's how I learned how to spell vacation.
How about Mississippi? Mississippi, come on, that word was helping me, really, you know? But the music that music will put that spirit in your heart. And for those, I mean, think about it. When you, even for those that are married, if you're not in the mood, you get a glass of wine and start putting that music on, all right, we can wake up a few things. You think it doesn't work for you when you're single?
I do not dispute what you guys are saying, that those things are let in, those feelings, but I think it's just being not taught morals. People like moral teaching and then living the example lived out in front of them, because in the cotton picking days, sharecropping, these same sins were being committed, and there was no social media.
The
Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
The thing is this, that there's more temptation or pressures on the children, different pressures than what we came up with. Like, right. I didn't have to worry too much if you was a man, a woman dressed up like a man and tricking me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I didn't have to worry about that because faggots or whatever you want to call them.
Oh, we're going off the air right now.
No, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? They were obvious, but now it's all this transgender, and you don't know what you're dealing with. So kids today are dealing with a lot more than we ever dealt with. And I'm just like, I don't think I could handle it. And I give my hat to Jenny and them. Y'all, you guys are amazing in my opinion.
Yes.
Keep up the good work.
I'm going to bring in another caller, Jenny, and then you guys can get right back on it. Area code 718. You're talking with Jenny and the Daughters of Zion, Vanessa and Anna.
Shalom, family. Is it me?
Shalom.
Shalom. This is such a timely topic. Definitely a lot of great points being made here. I think I got on when Vanessa was speaking. And it's so funny because I personally have a pretty good relationship with more than a handful of single sisters in the body. And, you know, it's always conversations of just being patient and knowing that we all kind of have the same desires, but just being content where the Most High has us now. And I have this like theory that like the more you have experienced or was exposed to in the world, like the more work you have to do after, you know, coming into the fold and baptism is like, first it's like, okay, you learn how to dress, then you learn how to speak, then you learn how to carry yourself, then you put away the music. It's like these different phases. And then I believe we kind of all have, my theory that we all have like this phase that we hit that we just have to overcome, whether it be lust, whether it be just something that is, which lust I think is the biggest one. And so, of course, this topic on just being remaining pure and being patient in that purity, the younger sister, the 20-year-old sister that called in that mentioned that, you know, she feels like, you know, people her age, sisters her age are very impatient. It's like such a hard thing to be patient. But I find that, and I think she mentioned something regarding like that being something that is learned. And I do agree with that. Like patience is definitely, especially patience according to like the Most High standards and not the, because I feel like the world has a different definition for like almost everything that we have to relearn. And patience is one of them. Like, and I just kind of wanted to call in and say I do agree with Vanessa saying that that, you know, those urges do come. Of course, it's like something that we have to kill daily. But what helps me to just, like I said, I would consider myself someone who, you know, had quite experience in the world. So I always would look at my relationship with the Most High as, okay, he has more work for me to do maybe than someone who's like a 20-year-old virgin still or something, you know. And so I take the Most High telling me that, like, just, you know, focus on the work that I have to do that I owe to him, you know, being in debt to him, that I owe him this work, these years, 4 years or whatever, how long it's been now, of being pure and not rushing to, you know, fulfill that desire. And I think the more time that goes in the truth and after baptism and being like pure from, you know, abstaining from those sexual things, I think the more I realize that, you know, I could value relationships more or see clearer, you know, when it comes to marriage and what that looks like and the work and the role that we would have to play as a wife. And I'm just speaking from a perspective of a woman who maybe in her late 20s, like myself, and has experienced quite a lot in the world, but then after that has to go 4 years of just being pure, experiencing so much in the world of impurity. So from that perspective, I think that I look at it as something even more special because when you go into, like, Revelations in chapter 2 and 3, when it speaks of, like, Christ, he's speaking to all these people saying all of the things that will be given to them once they overcome. Like, he keeps using the word overcome. Him that overcometh, him that overcometh. He'll be given the tree of life. He'll be able to eat from this manna, like, him that overcomes. So it's obviously things that we have to work to overcome.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
How I kind of, it's a fight still, you know, I'm fighting to be impatient, you know, adversary comes in your mind like, oh my gosh, what if I just get with a brother that's not in the church, you know, like, this is taking too long, like, you know, the adversary comes in our head in August before, and you just know it's like not right, you know, but I always stay focused on that overcoming. You know, that those scriptures where Christ is saying, like, you know, all of these things that are laid out to us that just overcome these, you know, temptations. So I just wanted to say that.
If thank I can you for that, sister.
For a similar
If I can add on what you were talking about, patience, Monty, I think that was great because one thing I want to offer to the sisters there is just perspective. You know, to be frank, sex is not a sin. Sex before marriage is a sin. So the only thing that makes it a sin is the time. So you have to continue to have that patience. You can do that with a person that you genuinely love. Just wait a little bit. And the time will fly by. I didn't think I was going to be 27 and a virgin. You know, but whether I did it or not, I would still be 27 right now anyways. Time will go by. And it sometimes, trust me, it's very hard sometimes, but I have my moments of sadness, like, oh, why is this? But then I have my moments of like, okay, like right now I'm feeling okay, you know, so I have to continue to focus, which leads me to my other piece of advice. So Ecclesiasticus chapter 33, verse 27, it says, send him to labor that he be not idle, for idleness teacheth much evil. So if you're not involved, not just busy in general, but involved with the work, that things are going to flood your mind. The Holy Spirit has to live there and for the Holy Spirit to live within you. You have to be walking in righteousness. You know, so I feel like I try to stay busy in the church. I dress in the praise team. I'm in the choir. I'm in the cleaning committee. I'm helping out with Passover. But I still feel like, gosh, I need more to do to keep my mind focused. You know, so if you feel like all of the time your mind is flooded with thoughts of this or that, all of the time, of course you're going to think about them. But that means you're not busy enough. You need to work for the Most High and not be so idle, because then those thoughts will continue to flood you.
Absolutely. When Richard Pryor went to jail, they asked him, how did he keep the fembots off of him? And he said he would keep them laughing. You had to keep their minds off the booty. That's what he said. He would keep them laughing and keep them busy. So it does have a lot to do with where your mind is and what you're thinking about. If you can keep your mind off of those things, and how do you keep your mind off? Your mind has to be engaged in something. Like the sister said, when it's idle, that's when it goes afloat. That's when it starts ripping through and finding things to think about and do, because you're made to work. The scripture says, six days, thou shalt labor. Get up, get busy, you know, get doing stuff. That's a commandment. 6 days, thou shalt labor. And on the Sabbath, where is our mind supposed to be? On the Most High. On the Most High and the things of the Most High. That's when we get a rest from our labors. We can stop creating and stop doing the things that, you know, we have the ability, the opportunity, and the commandment to do all through those 6 days when we're wandering through the earth. And so, yeah, just keeping our minds focused, staying busy. Even with anything, any type of sin, if you are busy doing the work of the Most High, you don't have time. You don't have time to be a busybody. You don't have time to even think about yourself. And so if you are busy, that's before I bring in another caller or someone else speaks, it's when you're so busy thinking about yourself, you're sinning, you know? And you cannot do the will of the Most High, because your mind, and what you will do is you will create an atmosphere in your mind of what this time is supposed to be like and what it's to do, and you'll be expecting that. If you don't have any of that on your mind and you have no expectations of what to expect, you're in better shape, because you're not going to be disappointed if you don't have it. Keep fostering that in your head, watching these people on television looking like they got it going on and they're having such a, you know, a special time. Sometimes there's a lot to learn before you can really get to the place where it's where it needs to be. So and that should be between you and your husband. Let's bring in another caller, area code 610. Area code 610, you're on the air with the youth and the Daughters of Zion.
Hello. I was only going to add to the point with regards to Instagram, and I think the point that she made in reference to patients, from a scientific point of view, most of these things, as far as Instagram, social media, has been created to create a level of instant gratification. But also it ties into our senses around addiction. And when I say addiction, it's around addiction for adoration. And it's something that before we watched TV, the only way they knew you watched a television show was through ratings, right? But now all of a sudden, as a consumer, as a buyer, as a person that's watching the television, media has now said, hey, we can now actually directly impact and influence people's movements and behaviors, but also make them feel that they have the power and they have the control and they have the leverage to drive other people's decisions. So that's how you build these influences. And then people are getting paid off of being this. And there's this whole dynamic around immediate gratification. So patience in this new generation is so hard to create, because of everything is at the palm of your hands. You can literally now shout out and say, hey, I want to hear this song, when back in the day, it took me how many times to listen to a song, to write the lyrics, to press rewind, to then stop it, for the thing to pop and break, and then I have to go get another tape, and then boom, start all over, which now I can literally Google and look up the lyrics and literally 5 seconds. And to create this level of patience, and how do you instill that in your children? And the point that you made, Sister Shirley, in reference to how, you know, setting your affections above, and, you know, stop placing, when you stay busy and creating things around, stop making about yourself. They have literally strategically said, make it about this person, give them the power, make them feel like they're important. So now other people are saying, especially children, impressionable teenagers, 20 plus, you know, and now you're seeing grown women. I've seen women parents who are sitting there competing and doing dances at their child's school, competing and doing what is that thing where you jumping around, dancing the show, you know, your butt, right? You know, and they're doing it. That dance that they do. I can't remember it right
twerking,
now. I'm drawing a blank. But
twerking.
Twerking, yep, twerking,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were doing
a twerk
competition at their own children's
school.
They're doing that in
school.
Parents.
Oh, man.
During halftime. The parents. What I'm trying to say is that if you have these wonderful young ladies on the phone that are saying, I have decided to make a commitment, unfortunately, I wouldn't say they're an anomaly, but to be at such an age that's impressionable when it's, you know, 13 through 27 maybe, and where you're, what you're surrounded around is being influenced by you know, who likes you, your peers, your, you know, the adoration of others, they know what they're doing. And it's such a challenging mm-hmm. thing to fight this huge media conglomerate. And how do you mm-hmm. strategically mm-hmm. enforce it in your home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's all done. It's just how, it, and it's just how do you fight it? And that's the question. And it should,
wow.
I don't know. I don't know how to. It's, but I just wanted to add that from a, I have a
wow.
clinical research background. That's the only reason why I was able to give that perspective.
Appreciate that.
There is a scientific
that.
Approach behind all of it.
The devil
yeah,
is
it's all
so strategic.
The devil,
he
is a crafty somebody.
But, the,
right.
the, but and then also with regards
to
the music.
Everybody's corner in their mind. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like
absolutely.
The is that tree of good of good and evil. Of the tree
mm-hmm.
of knowledge.
Absolutely.
You can get good and bad, and people choose which one they want to
right.
take.
Mm-hmm.
It,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then just
and
like
you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about what you just said? The tree. You know, the internet is a tree.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's mm-hmm. an absolute tree. It's a web-like. And it's just pulling
it
us in, and we're going the good and
well,
the evil. It's got the best. Right. And it's got the worst of the world.
Right.
They give
but
it back,
has,
back
it,
in the
it,
day.
It has something for everyone. It's like that story, that movie we saw, Needful Things. You'd walk into the store,
yes.
and guy had something for everybody, no matter how old or how young they were. It was something in that store. For so it's like the internet is like that, too. There's something in there for everybody, no matter how old or young you are. It can
That's
grab you in. And it's like,
and, you know,
and it all... It all boils down to, though, is your mind, because
mind,
where your mind goes, so the body goes. So it's like
yes.
we're all being captivated by it. You don't even realize it. It's so it's
mm-hmm.
so subtle. You know,
and
it's
that's the scripture. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
We have to renew our minds every day
that's
because
we
we're going
to
get caught up in this. And if we even listen to the words of what's being said, internet,
mm-hmm. right.
into the net,
mm-hmm.
web,
right.
web, you're caught
mm-hmm.
up in a spider's web. These things, they give you the words and tell you exactly what it is, but no, they ain't going to hurt us.
Right.
Social media. It's
like hiding in plain sight. You know, you just show something, and you know, it's like not telling them to look at it or not look at it or telling them what it is. But you really are, but you're not noticing that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's
yeah.
just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
And like the psychologist just brought out, social media, medium, social.
Right.
That's the
right.
spirit. That's the spirit right there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Spirit. Yeah.
These
and,
are the
and
things
you know,
that
when
Bill Cosby
had. I'm sorry.
Bringing these things out because
I was gonna
these ask. Are the things that are going to help us keep our bodies pure and keep our minds
right.
clean by backing up off of these things and
right.
knowing them when we see them. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I butt in.
I was only going to add the point.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Oh, no. I only brought up Bill Cosby for one thing, not to reference him or anything, more so
yeah,
of the show.
Yeah, you know it's against the law
right?
for us to bring him up, right? I'm just kidding. That's what a guy said to me on the phone at work one day. He said, you know it's against the law. I said, you got to be kidding me.
I will say the Cosby show, what it did for that generation was to, it created a, it presented a, you know, a family, right, that had values and morals and ethics, and he strategically set in place psychologists on the show to say, there will be not one negative image of Black people on my show ever. There's never been
mm-hmm.
one. That show and Different World, and intentionally done. And so imagine if the world was like that. Imagine if social media was like that. Imagine if what these young ladies are speaking about today was, you know, prophesize and or even, you know, not, excuse me, prophesize, but evangelize and amplify it across social media. And that's what people were looking to and behaving and wanting to emulate those behaviors is because I know when I was watching that show, that's what I wanted to be like. I wanted to emulate that behavior of that family. I wanted to behave the way, you know, they were. And so social media is creating the behaviors, unfortunately, of the children of this era.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But I wonder.
I'll yield.
Thank you so much for that.
He had somebody who was, you know, into the Most High's morals and his qualities. If somebody got on Instagram and said, "This is what I want to do," and they could get enough callers behind it, but I think they would snuff it out before it started really spiraling.
They would say it's hate talk.
Exactly. They would try to control or cut you off because they wouldn't allow it. But everything else, anything goes as long as you don't talk against anything that they're promoting at the time. It's like
we gotta bring our young people back in. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Aura.
Okay, we're getting off the course. Okay, go ahead, bring the young people back in because I'm getting off. No, I'm just
Jenny, do you have something to bring out? We're going to get shut down from the recording at 9 o'clock. We'll only have a few more minutes. So Jenny, Vanessa, Anna, I want to hear from you.
I had a point I wanted to say before, as we wrap up. And it's, you know, for anybody listening, especially if you're a teenager, I had 7 points that I was going to say a little quick for signs that you should not sleep or lay with someone. One is you should not sleep with someone who doesn't love you. And if they love your flesh, but they don't care about your spirit, then they don't really love you. If you're not ready to live on your own, if you're like 15 and you're not old enough to get a job, you're not old enough to have children, then you're not old enough to do that act yet. Number three, you don't want to sleep with someone who hasn't met your family and you haven't met theirs, because if anything happens, it would be a lot more complicated. I'm messing up with the numbers, but the next one I wrote is you don't want to be with someone who is not committed to you. And if you lay with someone who is not your husband, you have now made them your husband and your head, and they have not made you their wife. And if he hasn't committed to the Most High and to you, then you literally just gave him everything and you didn't really get anything in return.
Esau. Are we still here?
It's 9 o'clock today. I wrapped it up.
All right. I think we're pretty much so shutting off. Vanessa, thank you so much for your testimony. It was beautiful. I think we need to hear more from you. And if you guys really weren't finished, we'll get back into this again, because we need to make sure that this point is driven home, and we need to start thinking about how we can bring this forth to the young people, because they're not all on this show. What can we physically do in the congregations to help the young people find things that we can give them to do and help them get involved? I think it's a wonderful thing.
Sister Anna?
I think
a 30-day fast off of the internet might work. Might come up. People might actually start using their real brains. You know what I'm saying?
Might have some withdrawals, but okay.
Instead of using somebody else's, that would be a nice fast. I'm serious.
They would definitely have withdrawals. I promise you, they're gonna have withdrawals. But one thing,
it's a good thing. Real quick, because I know we're getting shut off here, but I did that myself. I disregarded all of my social media. Man, when I read the book of Enoch, I was like, oh, my goodness, I need to get closer to the Most High. I'm like, it's impossible that I'm here scrolling down Facebook at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's been 5 years since I deleted Facebook, no Instagram, nothing. And I just wanted to say that, Sister Shirley, beautiful point. We have to, you know, like in the Testament of Reuben, it tells us we need to guard our senses, what we see, you know, what we hear.
That's right.
You know, and just a quick scripture says, my son of doubt, it's Ecclesiastes 2:1-5. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, my son, if thou comest to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. Set thy heart right and constantly endure and make not haste in the time of trouble. Cleave unto him and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy at thy last end.
Amen.
Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully,
and be patient when that art changed to a low estate, for gold is tried in the fire and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. So all these, you know, these young kids, even, you know, women 18, 25, our elder sisters, our time will come. You know, that time will come for single sisters. You just have to be patient. The Most High is not going to give you anything that you can't handle. So we have to build that, you know, and we have to understand that looking at things spiritually and being spiritual is going to gain us the kingdom of the Most High. And that's what we want.
Praise the Most High. Vanessa, right. You have anything you want to bring before we get off?
She's gone.
I think we may have lost her. You know what happens when it shuts off the air? It shuts some people completely down.
Oh, right.
So, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. I thought I was muted. I'm sorry.
All right, let's go ahead. If you want to bring a last.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I was reading Romans chapter 4, and it gave me relief for a little bit because it was talking about Abraham. And specifically verse 5, it said, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And if you just read chapter 4, like the beginning, it was talking about your faith is counted for righteousness and not having doubt. I suggest reading that chapter. So, like, not having – and this is something I have to admit that I'm continually working on. But I just have to have the faith that whatever the Most High is doing, he's doing for my good, you know? So just continue to have that faith and the patience, and just really, it can be hard at times, but just trust the Most High.
Amen.
Wow. All right. This has been a marvelous show.
Any last things, too? I mean, did we get all three of them?
Yeah, Anna spoke.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one that brought out Ecclesiasticus. You know, her and Jenny sound a little alike.
They do.
Stay away from each other. Stay away from each other. We can't,
that's
you know.
That's the thing with you. No, I love her. Carol. Sometimes I don't know which one of you guys are talking.
Oh, no, yeah. You guys definitely sound like twins.
I know.
My sister Carol came to New York City. And I think she raised her hand or something, and I was like, oh, I know that. I felt like it was a celebrity. I'm like, I know that voice. Where do I know that voice?
All praises to the Most High God. All right, Sister Betty, you want to close us out in prayer?
All right. Okay. Praise Ahaya. All praises Ahaya. We thank you, Father. We thank you for bringing us together like this to talk and share and help each other, Father, because we are in need of so much revelation. We are in need of so much strength, Father. Help the young. Help the old. And just keep us, Father, because you have brought us through the years and you're not going to leave us. So we just help us, give us strength to hold on to you and the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we just thank you for the weather. We thank you for our health. We thank you that for the nice days and the cold days, because you're in control. And we have learned to worship you and know that you get your last say. And we just thank you for this week and the days that is going to continue this week, and the minutes and the hours and the seconds. We just wish love on everyone until we see another Sabbath dawn. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's mighty name.
Amen. Amen. All right, amen. Guys, you know, it's so funny because I thought about the gentleman that called in. And the first thing that it confused me when I heard his voice. And then I tried to figure out where did he get the information from to come online? Because, you know, it's not like I post this on social media.
Maybe he's part of the church, Shirley. Maybe he's, you know, part of the church.
He must have been part of the church because I said to myself, wow. But it scared me when he got on, and I didn't know what to say because, you know, you don't want to disrespect our brothers, you know. But it was hard. That's all I can say.
But he came on with baby lips. And he was very respectful.
Yes,
very,
he was.
You know,
yes,
by asking first, could he speak? I love that.
Yeah, it was very nice. And I don't know, sometimes you feel like, okay, go ahead, say whatever you need to say. I felt, you know, I didn't know whether to bring him in or not. And we have had brothers every now and then talk on the show. One sister, you know, typed in, we should never have a man. This is a woman's show, you know. I'm like, okay. So I never said I knew what I was doing, you know, but okay.
Very anyway, I've had brothers say that they heard what I said on this show before, and I'm like, but how?
They
but
listen,
yeah,
in.
They do. Apparently,
they listen,
they really
in.
Do.
It's rolling.
But, you know, I have a subject. Very interesting subject tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a little
one
idea.
What, Jenny?
I know, I'll make this short because I know everybody has to go, but a couple of years ago, I took, like, all my cousins that were, like, around 12 years old, and I took them to the park. I took them out to eat, and I got them all, like, little promise rings. And I made them each promise that they were going to stay a virgin until they got married. And I explained to them what the Most High requires of them. And then, like, a year later, I visited my cousin, and I'm like, do you still have that ring? She's like, yeah, I think about that promise every day.
Wow.
I think it would be so nice, like, if we had, like, we could get some cheap, even it could be like a dollar rings, but we could, you know, I know it's like a controversial topic, but maybe even at Tabernacle.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
it would
not,
be something like a, it would be something like a bat mitzvah we could do.
No, you know what? Let me just tell you something. In the First Day Church that we belong to, they had an entire program for the young girls to go through. And at the end, they had a ceremony in the front of the church, and the vow was, I will not take this ring off until my husband replaces it with a real ring, and they will maintain their virginity. Yeah, my youngest daughter was in that program. It was a beautiful thing. So I think it's something worthwhile looking into for the young women.
Yeah, you might save a few.
Exactly.
All right, so. All right. So everybody, what a wonderful night this was. And Sister Jenny and Vanessa and Sister Anna, good work. Good work. Okay. And keep coming up with great topics.
Wonderful. Yep. Wonderful.
And we will see you soon. Okay. Everybody have a blessed night.
The water lady.
Have a blessed night. You too now.
You too. Shalom.